What they want to know is, do you really believe this? I have a master's degree in theology. Do any of you really care? No. Most people want to know, is this stuff real? I work with teenagers. They definitely don't care what my degree is. They want to know, do you believe this? Some of you, maybe you can defend the faith. You know all of the answers, and that's great. That's fantastic. But what your neighbor wants to know is, why do you believe this stuff? What difference does it make in your life? Is this real? I mentioned that I work for Net Ministries. We send out these missionary teams. Every retreat that they do things like they have speakers and they have dramas and skits and small groups and different activities. At the end of every retreat, they fill out an evaluation, the young people and then the person that brought us in. And they all come to the national headquarters in St. Paul, and I get to read all of the evaluations. It's interesting. Out of 1,200 retreats that we do every year, I could probably count on two hands the number of evaluations that said, whoa, the speaker was fantastic. Or, wow, that drama moved me to tears. Oh, man, that game that we played, because it's for youth, that game we played was so much fun. They don't comment on that. What they say is, wow, the Net team was different. The young men held the doors open for the young ladies. The young men weren't looking at the ladies' bottoms when they were walking by. The young ladies weren't getting all catty with each other. They were loving one another. The young men at my house, they did dishes. The people that stayed at our house, they emptied the trash. It's funny that we trained these missionaries for 5 weeks. Only two of those weeks are on how do you put on a retreat. The first 3 weeks, we teach them how do you live your life as a Christian. Because the most effective way to share the gospel is not by what you say, but how you live your life. And we have to train our missionaries just to live a Christian life. When people see us, they need to see people who love God. One of Pope Francis's big things is the joy of the gospel. If he uses the word, I think he's the first pope to ever use the word sourpuss in an official papal document. And he said, you know, people are walking around looking like sourpusses. Why would I want to join your faith or follow your God if you look like you're miserable all the time? I want to have a good time in life. When people see us, they need to see people who love God, who love one another. They say, there's a saying, there's a song that says, they will know we are Christians by our bumper stickers. No, of course not. It's by our love for one another. Does your neighbor know that you're a Christian by the way you live your life? It's like a little self-check we have to do. When people see us, they need to see people who have hope. Last night we talked about some of the things don't go our way. You know what? Your siblings, your nephews, your nieces, your friends, your grandparents, your grandchildren, they're watching you. What happens when your water tank thing starts blowing up? How do you respond? When I acted like a little five-year-old in front of my kids, I wasn't being a good witness. My kids didn't learn to trust in God from my actions that night. I failed them. We're all going to make mistakes. I'm not being too hard on myself. I'm just being honest. What happens when someone cuts us off? What happens when someone takes the last cookie? What happens when something goes wrong, and how do we respond? You might be the only Bible that one of your neighbors reads, and they're watching you. You're the Catholic one. They can tell by your bumper sticker. They can tell by the fact that you leave on Sunday morning to go to church. They're wondering, is this stuff real? Pope Paul VI says, the power of evangelization will find itself considerably diminished if those who proclaim the gospel are divided among themselves in all sorts of ways. It's so insidious how little gripes and complaints. Now maybe one of you are going to volunteer to be the head decorator for the Christmas decorations, but then Martha snuck in and she volunteered, and now it's time for coffee after morning mass. And do you believe Martha decided to do that? Now, I'm making up a scenario, but you know, sometimes we can start grumbling and complaining. Pope Paul VI said, you just lost your witness. What about the people that are just visiting the parish? Do they know that this is a parish that loves them and is going to welcome them? I hope so. I feel welcome when I come. So this isn't a judgmental thing. It's just a question. When people see you, do they see people who live with hope? Do they see people who are growing in the image of God? There's only 5 tips, and the first one is to live the witness of an authentically Christian life. The second one is to put on your armor. You know, we are in a spiritual battle. A lot of people don't believe that the devil is real. They think that the devil is just the, to use a freshman in high school word, personification of evil. They think, well, when bad things happen, we have to blame it on someone, so let's just blame it on the devil. No, the devil's real. In fact, Jesus talks about him more than everyone else in the Bible put together. Have you ever wondered, maybe you have a friend or a relative that they're going through a tough time, or maybe they're not going through a tough time, but they just don't know Jesus, and you're trying to talk to them about God, and it looks like you're a dog watching TV, like they're like, what? Working with teenagers, have you ever tried to talk to teenagers about God, and you ever wonder, why don't they seem to get it? I mean, maybe you've worked out this incredible, sensible argument to share with your neighbor, your friend, whoever, and you're talking about God, and they're looking at you like, are you an alien? You know why that happens? Because when you're talking, even if you have all the eloquence of St. Anthony of Padua, whose tongue is incorrupt because he was such a great speaker, you might have all the eloquence, you might have all of the answers. You've gone through the Catholic apologetic series. You can answer all the questions. And people look at you like, huh? It's because you know what they're hearing when you're talking? They're hearing Charlie Brown's teacher. Remember that? I mean, and the reason why your words are not having an impact on people, St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, when you're sharing your faith, whether it's with a loved one, a neighbor, the enemy is saying, don't listen to him, don't listen to her. Hey, look, there's a squirrel over there. Stop, just don't listen, don't listen. The enemy is distracting. In fact, St. Paul says, the God of this age, meaning the devil, is blinding the hearts and minds of unbelievers so they cannot hear the gospel. There's that coworker or that son or that grandson, and you know, you're slipping them little tracts, little booklets, you're dropping little hints about maybe they should go back to church, and nothing has an impact on them. It's because the enemy is distracting them. And the truth is, reality is, as great as we might be, the devil is more powerful than any one of us. The devil was once the number one angel. Satan is more powerful than you and me. Satan is more powerful than John Paul the Great or Mother Teresa or pick your favorite saint. But Satan is not more powerful than Jesus, who is in you and me, who is in John Paul the Great and Mother Teresa. If we're going to be effective in evangelization, it's not because of our knowledge, it's not because of our skills, it's because we are women and men who are tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. None of us will have any effect on anyone when it comes to conversion if we're not praying. The Holy Spirit's the only one. I thank God. If anything I've said over the last 2 nights made any sense, thank you, Jesus. But it's not me. And I'm not being falsely humble. This is reality. Nothing I could say, whether I have a degree in communications, which I do, or a degree in theology, none of that's going to help anyone. If anything makes any sense, it's because the Holy Spirit is working. I try to spend more time praying than I do preparing and speaking because I can't do anything. And there was a time that I didn't understand this. When I was young and I was 20-something and I was in my Air Force uniform, I don't know if I was ever good-looking, but I was more fit and I looked like a military leader, and I started working with teenagers, and I was kind of cool, right? I was an Air Force guy, I was young. I had this kind of charism or charismatic personality. I thought, I'm changing the lives of teenagers. Well, I'm not cool anymore. I don't know if I ever really was. I realize it's not my coolness. It's not my skill. It's not my speaking ability. It's not, nothing that we have is ever going to convert anyone, which in some ways, what a relief. It's not about us. Only God can change lives. So if we're going to be his vessels, we have to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer must be the foundation of evangelistic activity. So what do you do? What do you pray for? Let's just pick a random make-believe scenario. Your brother-in-law does not like the church at all. In fact, he's bitter. And maybe he's been drinking too much too, and that's a factor in it maybe. I don't know. I'm making up a scenario. If you know specifics, then pray against those things. Jesus, in your name, I pray against the demon of alcoholism. I pray against Bob's doubts. I pray against his fears. Pray specifically about those things that you know. Some people, there's a wall. Have you ever talked to someone about your, like you're talking about the weather and things are going well and you bring up Jesus' name and all of a sudden, there's a big wall. Well, there's a lot of reasons why that wall might be up. Maybe they were hurt by someone. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, I don't know, all sorts of ways. Pray for that. Lord, whenever I talk to so-and-so, there seems to be a wall. I pray that you take down that wall. If it's a family member, just pray earnestly. St. Monica, you know her story, right? She prayed and prayed and prayed for her son Augustine. We don't really know much about their conversations. We don't know if she was nagging him for years. Come on, Augustine, you know, you got to do this. I don't know if she did or not, but all we do know, what all I know at least, is she spent many, many days, months, and years on her knees. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit that changed Augustine and gave us one of the greatest doctors of the church. Being men and women who pray. Father mentioned the last three nights, tonight and the last two nights, we're in a tough time for the church. Okay, the church has seen tough times before. So what do we do in response? We pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. We have to be men and women who pray. The third tip. You got to check your vision. Now, I'm guessing that most of us have the wrong perspective. Now, what I'm going to say now might seem like I am losing a few marbles upstairs, but just bear with me. I'm guessing that most of us have the wrong idea of where we are. I'm guessing most of us think that we are from planet Earth. Someday we're going to die and go to a brand new place, hopefully called heaven. That's not the Catholic approach to life. That we're not from planet Earth. Heaven is our home. St. Paul says heaven is our home. While we're here on Earth, we're just here for a short time as ambassadors. How many of you have never seen this picture? Anyone, don't be embarrassed. Most people have seen this picture. A few of you haven't. So this is a classic freshman in college psychology experiment. All across the country, for the last 20, 30 years, they've been using this. Here's how it works. They take a picture that looks kind of like that, of a young 25-year-old, sophisticated young lady, and they take a classroom of freshmen, college freshmen, sometimes it's high school seniors, they divide them in half. This half, they show a picture of a 25-year-old attractive young lady. And they just look at the picture for 30 seconds to a minute. This side of the classroom, they show a picture of a senior citizen, an elderly woman. And they look at that picture for 30 seconds to a minute. And then they bring the class back together and they show them this picture. This is a trick picture. It's a computer-generated combination of both pictures. And depending on which picture you saw first, if you saw the young lady first, when you look at this picture, you see a young lady. If you saw the old lady first, when you look at this picture, you see the older lady. This side of the room will try as hard as they can to get this side to see the young lady, and it's not going to work because their perspective is off. And you'll say things like this, well, hey, look. The young lady, it's her profile, and you can see her very defined, nice petite chin. And this side's gonna say, that's not a young lady's chin, that's the older lady's nose. And this side will say, no, 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 look at this, this right there, that's the young lady's left eye, left ear. She has a very cute left ear. And this side will say, what are you talking about? That's the older lady's left eye.